Today on VFN TV, right now, we're going to be talking about Brevard County Sheriff telling his citizens it's time to arm yourself. Homeland Security releases a video about what to do when you're facing an active shooting scenario. And of course, we want to share some wisdom on the Second Amendment, all happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful. Is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski, and today we're going to talk about guns and the need for you to protect yourself. In light of the recent terror attacks in California, there are many who are calling for stricter gun laws. But also, there are many who are saying, listen, it is time to arm and defend yourselves. You may be the first line of defense for yourself, your family, your loved ones, even your fellow citizen. And these calls to arm yourself are not just coming from random citizens or random people in our community, but they're coming from some of the highest authorities in the land, like many, many sheriffs today. In fact, Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey just told his citizens in a very blunt message, the time to arm yourself is right now. I want you to watch as he shares this message. We're going to be talking about also Homeland Security video that prepares you to what to do in an active shooter situation. Let's watch the sheriff right now.
Hello, I'm Sheriff Wayne Ivey, and you're on scene with the Brevard County Sheriff's Office. One of the many great things about being sheriff is that you are expected to do and say what needs to be said and done to protect your citizens and community. I want to start by saying that our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and families of the recent San Bernardino terrorist attack, as well as the law enforcement officers and other first responders that faced the horrific carnage in their own community. Like each of you, I've had enough of terrorists and others deciding to target U.S. citizens because they want to make a statement or get their 15 minutes of fame. I personally believe that the fear of terrorism is much larger and encompassing than the terrorists themselves. I encourage our media partners across the country to stop giving these terrorists the benefit of having free advertisement by printing or broadcasting their propaganda or actions. These despicable individuals want to be paraded around and revered for their actions, so why would we ever give them anything they want? The purpose of this video message is to tell our citizens that if a terrorist attack or active shooter scenario can happen in California, Texas, South Carolina, or Paris, it can happen right here in our own backyard. In fact, active shooter scenarios have already occurred right here, dating as far back as 1987 with William Cruz, who killed 6 people in Palm Bay, and as recent as February of this year at the Melbourne Mall. Now more than ever before is the time for law enforcement and our citizens to be fully prepared to immediately respond to an attack or an active shooter scenario with the right tools to eliminate or at the very least disrupt the attack. It is a known fact that the best law enforcement agencies in the country have response times in minutes, yet violent criminals can take our lives in seconds. Law enforcement officers in San Bernardino arrived on scene approximately 4 minutes after the incident was first reported. Even with that incredible response time, they arrived too late to find too many dead or critically wounded. As a sheriff, elected official, and citizen of our great country, I am personally disgusted by the senseless attacks and murders of good people by bad people with evil intent who have for too long been allowed to act in this manner. Equally concerning is the fact that there are those in our country who are in a position to speak out by voicing strength and taking action, who appear more concerned about being politically correct than they are about protecting those they took a constitutional oath to serve. In this unique time, our country needs to unite and stand up as leaders and citizens and clearly state that we have had enough and will no longer tolerate such behavior and acts of evil. Let there be no mistake. This is not about politics, religion, ethnicity, race, or social status, but instead is about our freedom, humanity, way of life, and the future of our great nation. It is time to stop reacting and instead proactively engage anyone who threatens harm through terrorism or mass killings. It is time for our national and world leaders to stop worrying about being politically correct and start worrying about what needs to be said and done to target, yes, I said target, terrorists. When did becoming politically correct become more important than punishing criminals and proud country? It didn't, and it's time for PC to become the acronym for protecting citizens, which is government's first and only priority to its people. It's time for America to get back to being America. It's time for politicians and law enforcement leaders to stop being politically correct and be bold, patriotic, and aggressive in protecting our country, and it's time to say what needs to be said in order to do what needs to be done. So let there be no mistake in what I'm about to say. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. If you're a person who is legally licensed to carry a firearm, now is the time more than ever to realize that you, and you alone, may very well be the first line of defense for you, your family, and others around you in a terrorist or active shooter-based scenario. I have always had absolute faith in our citizens to partner with us to help protect our community, and I want our citizens to always be alert and vigilant. However, let me be very clear in saying this is much deeper. This is about being able to defend and survive an attack by armed evil people until the cavalry can arrive. I am in no way suggesting that we as citizens take on a vigilante role. What I am saying is that we need to be mentally and physically prepared to respond to an attack so we can effectively defend and protect ourselves in an emergency. Our communities are blessed with many military veterans and other incredible citizen heroes who are willing and ready to stand up and say enough is enough, and this will not happen on my watch. Together we can make a difference. Evil people look to take advantage of weakness, but one good person at the right place and time will make the difference. If you're not someone who is comfortable with a firearm, then we encourage you to always remember these three things when faced with a violent individual or active shooter. Run. Think beforehand about how you could escape an emergency. Don't stop to collect your things and warn people to stop them from entering the dangerous area. Hide. Get out of view, preferably behind a locked door. Barricade furniture in front of the door and turn off the lights. Stay quiet. Silence your cell phone and wait for the first responders to appear. Fight. If you're unable to escape by running or hiding, then there is only one other option, and that is to fight with every ounce of passion you have. Arm yourself with anything available, and remember, this is not a fair fight. It is a fight for survival, a fight for your life. If you are someone who has a concealed carry permit or is interested in obtaining one, I invite you to take advantage of our self-defense through tactical shooting and decision-making course that is held at our firing range on the last Saturday of each month. This one-of-a-kind course teaches attendees about tactical positioning, laws relating to stand your ground and self-defense, as well as self-defense through mental preparedness. For more information on the course and to register to attend, please visit our website at brevardsheriff.com or contact our career development unit at 321-264-5201. Please remember that this message is not intended to scare, but instead is intended to prepare everyone for the remote possibility that you find yourself in a violent confrontation. This message is about not waiting to take action. In closing, we ask our citizens to remain vigilant and to remember, if you see something, say something. In the aftermath of almost every mass shooting or terrorist incident, there have been those that came forward and said, I knew something was wrong, or I didn't want to report something suspicious and be wrong. On behalf of our agency and community, I encourage you to contact us if you become suspicious in any way of anyone who causes you concern. If your suspicions turn out to be wrong, that's okay, as we will all still be safe. But if your suspicions are right, by partnering with us, we may very well prevent the next tragedy in our country. On behalf of the 1,500 proud men and women of the Brevard County Sheriff's Office, thank you for your continued support of our agency and for doing everything you can to help us keep Brevard County a safe place to call home. We'll see you the next time on Scene.
Thank you, Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey. This makes sense. It is time to prepare yourself, not just physically, mentally, but you may want to consider, as the sheriff said, to arm yourself. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the three things that you can always do when you're facing an active shooter situation. Run, hide, and fight with everything you have. together. There are more of us good guys than there are bad guys. And when we have community and we're looking out for each other, we can defend and protect ourselves. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Amendment rights, some wisdom. We're going to get there. Yes. You got to have some wisdom. But this was so refreshing to hear the sheriff from Brevard County speak with authority, clarity, and certainty about, hey, listen, it is time to consider arming and defending yourself.
Yeah, it's so much better to be able to make those clear-cut decisions when you have someone who's sharing you truth, someone who is in a leadership role, an authority position over an entire county, and saying, this is smart, this is something you want to look into, to say the best defense against a bad person with a gun is a good person with a gun.
Yeah.
It comes with wisdom on, okay, how do you, what is the best thing to do in response to that?
I find it interesting that these remarks are coming right in the middle of all. We just had a terrorist attack in our nation, and immediately there's a narrative that's going out saying that we need to have more strict gun laws. Understand that the most strictest state in the entire country is California.
Hello.
And the guns that were purchased legally. Mm-hmm. They went through all the vetting processes. So stricter gun laws is not going to make us safe. It's going to make us safe as people being vigilant, looking at their fellow neighbor. Mm-hmm. As I'm traveling in the community, I've noticed that there's a lot of people that are more aware these days. And we're beginning to wake up to the reality that we got to get our heads out the sand. And we got to begin to start caring for each other and looking out for one another and making sure that our fellow person in our community is being well taken care of. And if something good can come out of all of this, this is one thing that could certainly be good, is that for others to start caring about each other again. Mm-hmm. Today we're living in a society that everyone is connected to their mobile devices, to their screens, to their laptops and iPads, and they rarely look up to say hello anymore. You rarely get someone to open the door and say good morning, a good day. Or even waving to their neighbor. We got to get loose of these electronics, and we have to know who our neighbor is and not wait for a catastrophe like a hurricane to find out, oh, yeah, that's Mrs. Jones across the street.
Oh, yeah.
We got to get involved. We got to get engaged. And I just thought it was so refreshing what he had to say. And you know, he's not the only one. Many sheriffs now from coast to coast are saying, listen, you need to arm yourself, because although our police force will get there in record time, 4 or 5 minutes.
But what do you do in the meantime?
You may not have 4 or 5 minutes to survive.
Yeah.
You may not have 4 or 5 minutes. And in recent here, you know, the Homeland Security released a video that's being recirculated in light of the attacks. Mm-hmm. And it's about how to respond in an active shooter scenario. I was with someone recently who was startled by someone and they became paralyzed with their feet. They could barely move because they weren't even aware that somebody can do something to them. You know, they were just being attacked, and all of a sudden they said, I didn't even know what to do. Well, we got to start rethinking how, you know, we would respond, what we would say, what we would do, looking, just using wisdom. Mm-hmm. And what this video does, it allows us to put ourselves in a workplace situation, or maybe we're in a public situation. What will we do? Well, they give us three things to always keep on the forefront. If you can run, run. Get away. Don't stick around. If you could hide and you can't get away, then hide. And be quiet and get others to be quiet. Also, many times fearful people like to do a lot of chattering. You got to tell them, be quiet, because they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to get you hurt. They need to be quiet. And then the third thing, if you can't run away and you can't hide, then yes, you got to fight. You got to fight with everything you have so that you can defend yourself and your fellow citizen or your loved one. I want you to watch this video that was put out by Homeland Security. It's kind of PG a little bit because it really shows you what would happen with a bad guy really start shooting in a crowded environment. I want you to watch this.
It may feel like just another day at the office, but occasionally, life feels more like an action movie than reality. The authorities are working hard to protect you and to protect our public spaces. But sometimes bad people do bad things. Their motivations are different. The warning signs may vary, but the devastating effects are the same. And unfortunately, you need to be prepared for the worst. If you were ever to find yourself in the middle of an active shooter event, your survival may depend on whether or not you have a plan. The plan doesn't have to be complicated. There are three things you could do that make a difference. Run, hide, fight. First and foremost, if you can get out, do. Always try and escape or evacuate even when others insist on staying. Encourage others to leave with you, but don't let them slow you down with indecision. Remember what's important, you, not your stuff. Leave your belongings behind and try to find a way to get out safely. Trying to get yourself out of harm's way needs to be your number one priority. Once you are out of the line of fire, try to prevent others from walking into the danger zone and call 911.
Yes, sir.
If you can't get out safely, you need to find a place to hide. Act quickly and quietly. Try to secure your hiding place the best you can. Turn out lights, and if possible, remember to lock doors. Silence your ringer and vibration mode on your cell phone. And if you can't find a safe room or closet, try to conceal yourself behind large objects that may protect you. Do your best to remain quiet and calm. As a last resort, if your life is at risk, whether you are alone or working together as a group, fight. Act with aggression. Improvise weapons. Disarm him. And commit to taking the shooter down, no matter what. Try to be aware of your environment. Always have an exit plan. Know that in an incident like this, victims are generally chosen randomly, The event is unpredictable and may evolve quickly. The first responders on the scene are not there to evacuate or tend to the injured. They are well trained and are there to stop the shooter. Your actions can make a difference for your safety and survival. Be aware and be prepared. And if you find yourself facing an active shooter, there are three key things you need to remember to survive. Run, hide, fight.
Be prepared, be prepared, be alert, and don't forget, run, hide, and fight. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about the Second Amendment and some wisdom. Before we go to break, though, I do want to talk to you about Special Offer 2000. We want you to partner. We want you to be a part. Listen, its message is a timely message right now. It's called, This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? Is this the mark of the beast? You don't want to miss it. Partner today. I do want to talk to you about our new Special Offer 2000, and you want to get it. You can do it just by partnering for any amount. We want to get it to you. We want you to be informed, and we want you to prepare yourself. It's called, This is an Act of War. Has the World War III begun? And is this the beginning of the mark of the beast? When the Paris attacks occurred, the French president, François Hollande, declared this is an act of war, and he closed the borders immediately. And he said that he and his country are going to retaliate, and they're going to get on this fight with this war against ISIS. And so in this message, you're gonna learn about, are we headed to the mark of the beast? You're going to find out about biometric identity tags. Yes, there is a plan already in place to give a digital tag, an identification mark, to all 7 billion people in the world. You think maybe not? Well, already 200 people have been digitally tagged in India. 200 million. And so there are reports that this is coming. This is coming. But it's essential and it's important that we actually wake up to these realities. The church has to be awakened that it is happening right now. And so the special offer is for you. Partner for any amount. That's how we do it. Partnership through partners and through our sponsors. We can continue to keep this conversation light and keep you informed. You can become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can mail us at VFNTV, 6500 North Palafox Boulevard, 32505, Pensacola, Florida. And again, you can contact us at 844-408-3688. You can always reach us again at that number. Call us and partner today.
Hi, I'm Stephen Hurst. And from all of us here at Hurst Transmissions and Hurst Family Motors, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do students have the right to opt out of a school activity if it interferes with their moral conscience? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son goes to a public high school, and his school requires its students to take a parenting class. And we have some objections to the class. The biggest one, I guess, is that as parents, we feel it's our job to teach our kids to be parents and don't feel like the school has that responsibility. And I wanted to know if we can just completely just get him out of the class.
Well, you should certainly be able to opt him out of the class. And let me say this again, when it comes to a curriculum that you object to on religious grounds, here the parenting class, if they're teaching things which which you disagree with. You should go to the teacher, discuss the concern, and ask for an alternative assignment. They cannot compel your child to participate in a class that the parents find objectionable based on religious grounds.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to Himself. And you know, basically, people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster. In the sky.
Well, I know after watching the sheriff from Brevard County. Mm-hmm. And watching this Homeland Security video, you are excited about arming yourself. Maybe you've thought, maybe I'd never get a gun, you know, and maybe now you're concerned and you're saying, maybe I need to get one. Maybe I need to get a concealed weapons license. And we want to share a little bit of wisdom with you, a little bit of caution, because it's, you know, it's never a good scenario when you have to use a weapon. It doesn't work out well. Believe me, it should be your last resort. Mm-hmm. And there are consequences. That's just the reality. Once you pull a weapon out, you're going to face consequences. And so you got to be prepared to face those consequences, because they're going to come. And so this should be something that you should think about this. You should pray about this. And my personal caution is that if you're a fearful person, if you're prone to being, you know, fearful all the time, you may want to reconsider that. Because oftentimes people think, Steve, that, you know, if I pull this gun out, then, you know, I can intimidate the other person and I won't feel fearful and they'll run away. But oftentimes those are the people that get their guns taken away from them. Mm-hmm. You don't use a weapon to intimidate anyone because you're fearful. You use a weapon because your life is in danger, mm-hmm. or someone's life is in danger. And again, you want to use caution, but we have a connected dots moments that we want to share with you. And in times past on our program, we shared about wisdom regarding the Second Amendment and the importance of not trying to be a hero. Yeah, we said it, a hero. Because you find that people want to walk around now, they feel more confident because they have a weapon, they have a firearm. But if we have 25 heroes at the local McDonald's, we're going to be in trouble, because we're going to have crossfire everywhere and someone's going to get hurt, and you may be the one that gets hurt unnecessarily. I want you to listen as Greg just breaks this down for us and kind of connect the dots and helps us understand we have to have wisdom moving forward in every decision we make, including the decision whether to arm or not to arm ourselves. Watch this.
I want to talk about today is the Second Amendment, a simple statement that is very powerful. Heroes die too. Mm. Heroes die too. Wisdom in regards to the Second Amendment and guns. So many people are hyped up about, you know, I have the right to. It's like, yeah, you know, we have a right to a lot of things. You know, everything might be illegal, but that doesn't mean everything's beneficial. Hey. And I'm going to talk about, you know, that the hero complex, and the you know, whatever your intellectual level was on Monday when you bought your gun on Tuesday, you're just as intellectual as you were on Monday. Mm. You didn't get smarter.
That's right.
Ever how strong or weak you were on Monday, when you bought your gun on Tuesday, you didn't get any stronger or you didn't get any weaker. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And ever how wise or ignorant you were on Monday, just because you went and bought you a 357 or a 380 or a 12-gauge shotgun, you're not any wiser than you were the day before.
That's right.
Now, if you have, if you're falling to this whole, you know, hero complex, and now you're stronger because you got a gun, you're dangerous. You're very dangerous, because a coward without a gun is not as bad as a coward with a gun, because they're the ones that end up shooting folks. But I'm going to talk about this particular thing, because everybody, this hero complex going on right now, everybody thinks you're going to pull out your gun like Zorro or somebody pulls out a sword, and you're going to save the world. But you know what you look like when you pull out your gun in a crowd? You look like a terrorist, and they're going to take you out. Because who are you? Mm. I know that you're a you know, you're just something to yourself, but to everybody else in that mall that you think you're going to rescue, when somebody says bad guy, guess what they're looking at? You with a gun. And guess what you look like? A bad guy. Guess who you're about to see? Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reason why they have everybody in that mall, law enforcement has everybody in that mall come out with their hands up. They're not being mean. They don't know who the bad guy is yet. And just because you can legally possess a gun doesn't mean you're not possessed. And so we're going to be talking about it. We've got to have this wisdom. We've got to have this conversation, because a lot of people run into the Second Amendment like that's their God. God's God, and his wisdom will help you. And you didn't get any smarter. You didn't get any braver. If you were terrified when you bought the gun, now you're terrified with the gun, and now we're terrified of you.
That's right.
And so we're going to talk about how to get wisdom in regards to that. And just because it's legal doesn't mean necessarily it's wise. You pull it out, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But hopefully it's going to help a lot of folks, you know. You were hiding behind a wall. Now you're hiding behind a piece of steel, but you know. And I'm going to talk to you about what a lot of officers find out in their career is that just because you pull the trigger doesn't mean the gun goes off. And that would terrify a coward. And then you get beat with your own butt of your own gun. If not, the next shot going off would be on you. But an officer who's been trained and has wise, they know what to do. And so we want to talk about all that, or a soldier. You know, as Christians, we're talking about our founding fathers and our constitutional right and First Amendment, the Bill of Civil Rights, and we have the right to do this, and we have a right to do that. But you're also hearing people talk about the Second Amendment with such aggression. I mean, of all the amendments that we probably shouldn't talk about with such aggression, probably should be the Second Amendment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because aggression and the Second Amendment together is kind of freaky. I mean, yeah, we don't have time to talk about it. Probably it's a related article with Rick Joyner talking about we have people to fear on the right and the left.
That's right.
And I believe he talks about that, the wisdom of martial law to be able to protect the people that are normal in the middle, because it's just meant to be a place of liberty and peace. And to talk about the Second Amendment in a way that's aggressive, it's just like, that doesn't go together. It's like an officer showing up at your house to see if you're okay, and they're yelling at you. It's just like, you don't belong in this job. You know, there's something eerily wrong about this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because he has a gun or she has a gun, they need to be calm and relaxed and wisdom and that type of thing. And so what is the Second Amendment? The Second Amendment to the Bill of Civil Rights, which was eradicated in 1791. Thanks,
correct.
John. I appreciate
you
that.
Got it, man.
says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. In other words, if we're going to keep our freedom, we have to understand how to weapons. And we need to know wisdom on how to use them in the context of the law and how to use them. And I mean, think about it. Every single day, you're in America, in some communities, I can see some folks thinking not. I mean, in Detroit right now, they have billboards up, and their billboards say, thou shalt not kill. Because so many people are being killed because progressivism has come in and just smashed that town. Thank you, unions. That was so beautiful.
Wow.
That was just really beautiful how you overcharged us for cars for years. And now look, you left them there. And we just pray right now for Detroit and all of our listeners in Detroit and viewers that now that the light would come in and just restructure that place from top down. And so it's important in regards to how you see how you see guns and how you see weapons. And I see Christians that are you're talking about Jesus loves you, this I know, and their next statement is, you better get yourself a gun. I'm like, Jiminy Cricket. First of all, we're not scared to die.
Right.
But yet guns aren't bad because when we call the police to come to our house, we expect them to have one.
Yeah, that's right. What that works.
Yeah, and even our very president, you know, we expect him to be protected by the Secret Service who has guns. It would be kind of silly for them to have, like, squirt guns or a little finger gestures under people's noses that you press on their noses, what the school system says. If you take your finger when somebody's biting you and you put it under their nose as they're clamping down on your skin and you push upwards, it'll cause the child to release.
Really?
I'm not going to tell you my method, but it'd be a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't bite again. This child wouldn't bite again.
Did work, right?
Yeah, it was like instant wisdom. It hurt me worse than it hurt him. But what happens is, it's really embarrassing, but you don't see this. It's called the hero complex. This false sense of invincibility and now this stability in your life, because all of a sudden you went out and you bought yourself. And normally the smaller the bravery, the bigger the gun. You know what I'm saying?
Because
I mean, how big of a bullet do you need to protect yourself? Yeah, I know what you're saying right now. I bought a shotgun because I'm a bad shot, and at least they're going to go all over the place. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the hero complex and the Second Amendment, our constitutional rights to be able to bear arms. And you need it for a free society. If not, people come into your place and rob your place and that type of thing. Sometimes the government does.
Mm.
Anyway, so drawing your legal gun, which means you have a legal right, drawing your legal gun out in a crowd, for example, doesn't make you look like a hero. It makes you look like a suspect. And many have died rightly and legally possessing a gun. You're a hero complex. This is somebody that's thinking that now you're like, I'm the only one that knows. I have the secret. I have the Superman S that was on Superman's shirt. It's in my back belt. You know, it's in my back pocket or whatever. I don't know. Wherever you got your courage. And
this T-shirt.
Yeah. And so you're thinking, you've been deceived and thinking that you're just going to draw this thing out in the crowd and you're going to save all those folks in there because you've been watching all those movies and playing all that PlayStation and stuff. And you know what you're going to look like? You're going to look like that man in the Navy Yards on the security camera. He's just a typical young man. And visually, he just looks like a normal young man. What's to say that he was not looking for somebody that we thought was him? You know what I'm saying? You don't know this. But see, understanding coming from a... By the way, just to let you know, I come from law enforcement experience. I'm giving you some wisdom here that a good quality, knows what he or she's doing officer, sees you pull that gun out and you start firing it in the store. When they get called to that place and there's a crowd there, there's a high probability, a very high probability you're about to meet Jesus. And it's because that was not wisdom at all. I remember once there was a suicide. This man was going to attempted suicide. And, of course, they call the police out for some reason. Why did they call the police out? And he has a gun. He's in a parking lot. And he has a gun at his head. There was a call the other night, as I talked about, that they said this guy was trying to commit suicide, but he had the gun at some woman's head. And like, that's not suicide. Right. That's assault. And so the police officers, when they got there, they formed a circle. They formed a circle around the suspect or the potentially going to commit suicide man who had the gun at his head, which means the reason why you call a police officer for several reasons, but one is they have a gun and you don't want to hurt themselves. You want to prevent that, but also you want to prevent other people in the community from getting hurt. And also, as an officer, you don't want to get hurt. But you don't form a circle around a possible suspect that could turn from a potential victim to a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden that, imagine this, now you have like a little bonfire going and the officers are warming their hands up. And the victim in the middle who's going to kill, imagine them just being a nice campfire or something. And it's like, that's cool. But if you have a bullet that fires out of a gun, not a campfire, in the center of you, it's like Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that victim turns into a suspect and decides to do something like, they call it murder by cop, where they don't want to kill themselves, but they'll point their gun at you and cause you to shoot them. So, you know, whatever, murder by cop, they call it, or they want to kill you, then one of the officers will have to shoot. But since you're in a circle around the man, the high probability, I mean, this is in this decade, that you don't circle around the potential person that you may have to shoot, because you just know that in your training, that means that somebody's in the line of fire is going to.
In all of your getting, get wisdom and understanding. You got to be wise, because there are consequences to every decision that you make. And when you have to make split-second decisions, believe me, you want to be well thought, well understood. You know, you want to get everything right the way it needs to be. And even then, you just don't know what's going to happen. But you don't want to enter, arming yourself lightly. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk more about this. Join us.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, what are you going to do about it?
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the Green Room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about the Second Amendment right that you have as a citizen, and the question whether to arm or not to arm yourself. That's something that you need to apply wisdom and take to prayer. But What do you do, Steve? What do you do? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think about the invaluable wisdom that Greg shared as a former law enforcement officer, because you think about so many people that don't have that experience, and thinking about some of the things that the sheriff from Brevard County made me think about a lot of the experience, me being a Marine myself, and yes, a lot of the experience I had. We used to do something called IA drills, being immediate action.
IA drills, immediate IA action.
Okay. Right. So you would think about, and you would go out with your team and practice basically, how would you respond if someone were to shoot at you from this direction or that direction? And you would do it repetitiously so that when it does happen, you're not all of a sudden caught in the moment of what do I do? You just react.
Yes.
So to think about someone who doesn't, okay, I'm what does someone do that doesn't have military experience, a law enforcement, is the fact that you role play. Mm-hmm. Is that you think about, okay, what would I do if this were to happen? Not to be fearful, but that you're assessing your environment, that you're aware. This is not to cause fear, but to say, hey, if someone does have a gun, do you feel comfortable with it even in your hand?
Do you need to be comfortable.
Yeah. Do I know what to do with it?
Yeah. Comfortable holding it, shooting it, carrying it, where to point it when it's not in
where
use.
Not to point it.
These are things that you really have to really consider. And like I said earlier in the program, if you're prone to fear and being fearful, you scare your own shadow, you may
gun might not be a good idea.
It might not be the thing for you, you know? Because you're going to pull it out and either hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. But, you know, one of the most important things that we can do as we're having this conversation is not to forget the chief thing, the important thing as believers is to abide with Jesus Christ, to spend time with the Lord in prayer and developing that, communing relationship with God, that you're not just talking to him, but that you're listening, you're hearing for instruction, guidance, wisdom, warnings. You know, how many times have you felt a check in your spirit like, you know, maybe we don't
Something's
even go
not
here
right.
not
yeah.
go there. If we listen to God, maybe we could avoid situations that could be, real bad for us.
We even said something that was just so powerful during the break about situations like this. We can so easily put our confidence in the wrong thing or in the wrong moment. It's just, John, what were you saying before? What is so important about where and who we put our confidence in?
You need to put your confidence in the Lord, because you could be the best, practice shooter. You can have 7,000 rounds of ammunition and all these skill. But at the end of the day, you want to put your confidence in God, and you want to trust him, and you want to do your best to say, Lord, I give it all to you, but you want to be prepared. Prepare, but don't trust in your preparation. Trust in God. Get your family around. Talk to them about what matters most. Well, we want to take this time as we just come to the end of our program just to pray with you. These are things that we have to take to prayer. And we also appreciate you praying for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have with our viewers today. Lord, we ask you to bless them, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we are entering a new frontier, a season in our country where we're having to look at arming and defending ourselves. Help us as we make these decisions, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord, and help us to turn our hearts to you. God, our prayer is, Lord, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send the third great awakening on our land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.